about on this episode? Yeah?
Onion barges.
Onion barges.
What were you saying?
Had them the other night, mate. Oh my goodness gracious. Manners. That's sensational. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
For me.
Indian is, I'm telling you, we had this conversation before. Maturing is realising Chinese is fucking dirt.
I was going to get a Chinese the following night. Said I can't have a Chinese after having that Indian.
Mm. It's, mate, it's, Chinese is, there's not a good Chinese out there that can compete with an Indian or a Thai.
That's the yoke. OSP or something, man?
MSG.
That's the one. MSG. What's that deal?
MSG is what they put into like the Chinese food, and that's why you can eat loads of it and then you feel absolutely terrible after it.
See, that's what I was going to say.
And the thought of a Chinese is always better than the actual Chinese. You always feel rotten after.
The amount of Indian I ate and I didn't feel in bits shame me.
What's your take on that one, Owen?
I'd say you're probably being a bit harsh on Chinese.
Nah, mate.
Indian is better.
A good Chinese. Name a good Chinese, you can't.
Boys, Canton.
Which one is that again?
On Manor Street. Underrated, boys.
I had it. You, I had it with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, thought I didn't like it. I don't like Chinese anymore.
Yeah,
but it's Thai. Yeah, do you know what? Me and Amy only said this the other night. We only got the one takeaway. And that's it. Because we know if you go anywhere else, you're just going to be disappointed.
We're out here plugging Chinese restaurants to bits.
We haven't named anyone, have we?
You're just slagging off Chinese restaurants.
I know. Who come on the podcast? Was Katrina, wasn't it, talking about the Frega? And we were like, you want to be careful there. People will start sending us death threats. But I agreed with her. I think the Frega is dirt.
Oh, no.
There it is, it's muck. And then what's the other place everyone always
I'm here saying it? Chinese is dirt. And if you haven't had the bad Chinese, gaff.
They're all dirt and overrated and high one out in Finglas and all. Like, they're all grow up, like, broaden your palates.
So what do you go for, Indian?
No, Thai.
Which Thai do you go to?
I got the Sansab and Drumcondra.
What's that gaff? Camille.
Mm-hmm.
What country is that?
Toy.
Toy, that's some gaff on. Are they some gaff? I'll give it to them.
So are we adding Indian food to your list of middle class things then?
Ooh, does that go middle class?
Indian's more middle class than Thai food, I'd say.
Is it middle class?
I think in this country it is.
Yeah.
In the UK it wouldn't be. But I think here it probably is a bit more middle class.
I think you would just call an art middle class, just to grant me.
What's your favourite Indian dish?
Don't know. Don't know the names of all the girls.
Right, that's why that was a good test. He passed the test. He definitely does know the dishes.
No, there was a tikka masala and an onion bhaji. And there was a load of other girls.
In fairness, I only know Rogan Josh because it sounds like a fella you know what I mean?
That's, yeah. All right, Grant, did you miss me?
Yeah, in ways.
This is the first bonus episode we've done since Terrence has came back from Thailand.
Yeah.
I had
Sorry.
Yeah, I saw you last week.
Briefly, but it was a heavy one.
It was a heavy one.
The whole sitting.
It was.
Andrew McGinley. If you haven't listened to it, listen to it. But it was a heavy all day. So.
And then you were gone fairly quickly afterwards.
Yeah.
So this is the first time today I've seen you in your proper
environment.
High energy mode.
Yup.
So you walked in the door. Walked in the door to the studio here. I'm sitting here working away. You burst through, right? Like, those studio doors are heavy as well. You're the only person I've seen throw them open like saloon doors. What happened when you came in?
I did a couple of things wrong. I did a chain of things wrong. I could tell by your attitude.
Tell us about the time of the time one to start off with.
Well, first of all, I'm not going to say your problem.
You'd say what happened.
There's a problem in Mark Coney House with the clock. And the clock was...
The clock in this room, yeah.
Hasn't been fixed since the clock.
Hasn't been put forward, yeah. No.
And the clock said 4 o'clock. And I thought it was an hour early.
So he came in and he's taking off his gilet and he's standing there and he's just talking, obviously. And then he just turns around and goes, 4 o'clock, how did I get that wrong? And he doesn't, I was sitting here waiting to see how long it would go on. He didn't take out the phone rent to check. He just starts roaring the place down, then puts the gilet back on. Puts the smokes back in his pocket. I'm going for a sandwich. You want a sandwich? I'm going for a sandwich.
But I did the chain of things wrong.
Then you got upset.
Do you know how I know I did it? Because it takes a chain. First one or two things I did was always like met with a bit of laughter.
Uh-huh.
And then you kind of snap on me, don't you?
I didn't snap at you.
You told me to shut up and sit down and stop biking the bollocks.
No,
I'd like to say that.
I didn't say any of those things. Then you started taking the clock off the wall.
I did take
it. Right, I told you we have someone here who knows how to fix that clock. But you decided you were going to take it off the wall. and change it yourself.
I got to back up, to be fair to me.
Yeah, but still an hour slow.
Mm-hmm. Are they still an hour slow? I didn't get the sign fixed on it. Took her off the wall, took me half an hour to get her back up, but it's there. Nothing's broke. We're all in good form, high spirits.
Good health.
Good health.
Any questions?
Any fucking questions?
Yeah.
I know you missed me. I can see it in your eyes.
Anyway.
There was a shine in your eye.
Thank you.
Glimmer.
It's glimmer.
That's the word you're looking for.
Yeah. Have you even seen it too?
Joshua has a question for you.
Josh.
Yeah.
Don't stop you dare like, add the away
giving
at the end.
Government
that.
Name and all.
Joshua.
Joshua Robert.
Ooh. I think we've had him before.
Like, he sounds like a superstar to
Calm
me.
Down. So he says, seeing as Terrence is now a movie critic, he's curious, what movies did Terrence watch on his flight from and to Thailand?
Good show, Terrence.
And where would you place them on the list?
Great show. Equalizer 3. I fucking loved them. I really, really loved them. Equalizer villains. I can't get off.
How much of a deficit was that man in that you need to equalize something 3 times?
Boys, Equalizer 3 was quality. Really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed all of them. I think the first one's the least best. The worst. That's what you're saying, eh? I think the first one the least best. I think the first one is the worst. Not like films usually
get worse after the
what's that film Need for Speed? And now it's shy. And they've 48 of them.
Fast and Furious.
Why does it Need for Speed? Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Just gets shitter every time, does it?
Yeah.
That's what everyone says. Equalizer is getting, but we can't wait for Equalizer 4.
They can't make another one.
Oh, bro, you can't.
Left on a cliffhanger. Oh, is that the only film you watched?
Yeah, and then I played Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah, how'd you go on?
I got one question away from the £1 million. Didn't get it. And the hell? Do you know what it was? And I said, right? I said to myself, God might be real. Right? And I said to myself, I was thinking of Texas. I'll fly. Don't know why.
Right.
And the last question, what was the question? I knew the answer. And I don't know what I did. I can't remember what the question was, but there was two answers. And I still had me 50-50. And I hit the 50-50 and it was down to the two. A and C, yeah? And A was somewhere and C was Texas. And I said, I'm sure it's A, but Texas is on my mind all day. I think God's at the sending me a signal. I'm going to hit Texas and I hit Texas and I was wrong. So fuck that kip. Fuck the kip, man.
I can't believe you've had how many hours worth of flying?
Yeah.
16.
26.
You watched one film?
All in, was it?
You played Who Wants to Be a Millionaire for the rest of it?
Yeah, and all you watched was The Equalizer 3.
The Equalizer 3, yeah.
Seems like a missed opportunity there to me, bro.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And guess who as well? Does your person have glasses? No. Ding, 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 ding.
Are you playing that with a random on the plane?
No, against the computer.
For the whole flight all the way to Thailand.
4 hours, yeah, and then 3 hours and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Just kept walking around the plane. Stairs and all. Didn't go upstairs. Stairs on the plane.
Oh yeah.
Remember we found out the floors had 2 floors. When was that?
Oh, I told you that was on one of them planes.
How long ago was that though?
10 years ago.
No. When did you make the plane?
When I was on it.
When did you tell me?
I don't know, about bleeding 2 years ago probably.
Yeah, about 2 years ago. And I was on one. But I didn't walk up the stairs and anyways.
You anyways, to the stall at live shows, the whole Who Wants to Be a Millionaire bit.
It was a great bit, by the way. It was a great bit.
I heard about it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Starlet's live show, Owen was a guest again.
I'm not a guest, I am a host.
You were on the stage with a microphone.
I'm not a guest.
You were on the stage with a microphone. And also you were dressed the exact same as Darden Conway. The two of them were dressed in the exact same outfit, like for like.
That's
remember the stick we got of a wearing similar clothes on the Late Late Show. He wore the exact same clothes as Darden Conway.
What did Darden Conway wear?
Black jeans, black t-shirt.
And what else?
Runners.
He wore an overshirt, a grey overshirt. What did I wear? A green bomber jacket.
Because
they are complete opposite.
No, I'm wearing. Hang on, what else did you have on?
Glad you're back, Terry.
What did you got under the bomber jacket?
A black t-shirt.
You had black jeans
so,
on as well.
So we had 50% of what Darden had on.
No, more.
No.
Because he only got changed in the back. He had a grey overshirt as well. He had to come out with a bomber jacket zipped up because he had the exact same clothes on.
First of all, it wasn't zipped up. So, you know,
he was sitting on stage and he's like, I'm actually sweating here. Because he had a bomber jacket on zipped up. He had a monkey hat and all on.
I wasn't. That's not true. Luckily, we figured it out. But then I went out on stage, and that bomber jacket is not good under those lights.
Oh my God, try a three-piece suit on.
I know, yeah.
Fuck me, man. Remember we bleed and hugged someone before and they were like, he was bleeding, sweating.
Yeah.
This, I had this theory before, the amount of water we drink and we never go to the toilet. So your body's just absorbing all that water because you've sweated so much.
Mm.
But back to the films. So all this time you've been gone, all you're seeing is the Equalizer 3.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a wasted opportunity. What did Jim go away for? We thought you would come back with at least 10 under the belt. We thought we could have got a top 10 ranking. But we're still on 5 or 6 now.
I'm re-watching Peaky Blinders.
No, don't watch films. Stuff.
You're wasting time. Yeah, it's a waste of time. Waste of time.
Do you know when I never watched season 4 of that?
Will you watch Dead Man's Shoes for me?
No, that's a no. I just know by the look of his face, that's a no.
What did you say?
Dead Man's Shoes.
Dead Man's Shoes, horror.
No, it's
sounds like a good name for a horror film.
A thriller. A revenge film.
Yeah, I will watch that for you.
Parents are making notes of this in his phone. So there's Josh's question anyways, yeah? Sorry to...
Yes, there you go.
Wait, wait. Dead Man's Shoes.
Yeah. Okay.
I got a little one.
Calvin.
Go on.
It was on a... It was on a... It was a video. It was on the Talking Bollocks page. There.
Would you rather only be able to sleep in a hard wooden chair... Like, you are never allowed to fall asleep on the couch. Anytime you start to fall asleep, boom, you have to be in the chair. This is the only thing. Or you get to sleep in your bed, but you lose the use of your dominant hand. Dominant arm, completely unusable, but you get to sleep in a bed.
Or now, think about it logically before you start jumping at the answers, Calvin. You're only allowed ever sleep in a hard wooden chair for the rest of your life. Or, no, see what she said. When the second you get tired and sleepy, boom, you're in the hard wooden chair and that's the only place you get to sleep forever. Or, Lewis, you're never able to use a dominant arm again.
You'd have to take the second one.
No, you take the first one.
You'd only ever sleep in a hard wooden chair ever.
Yeah, you get used to that.
And what, you wouldn't get used to using your other hand?
Well, I think it's going to be a lot less, a lot more of a hindrance to lose one of your arms. Than to go a few months not getting a good night's sleep.
What do you mean a few months? Forever?
You'll get used to sleeping in that chair though.
Yeah, but your back could be in bits and all.
But Calvin, forever?
And you're
without enough. That?
I know. But imagine trying to sleep in a chair.
Imagine someone lobbed your gaff.
Right. Imagine trying to sleep in the chair. Because you go to sleep every single day. No matter what, you will go to sleep.
You use your dominant arm every single day.
But there's people out there with one arm. You can't live that way.
And you
can you sleep? I think you lose your marbles. I don't think you could ever get used to that. Like, you can't even sleep on the floor. You have to sleep in a wooden chair.
Oh, your back could be in bits, boys.
And your neck. And that's that'll seep into your everyday life then. You not having a good night's sleep. It's worth losing an arm for. And you're not even losing it. You'd still have it. You can't function with it. Just walk around with your hand in your pocket. You look fresh.
You can't even move it to put it in your pocket.
You can with your other hand and stick it in. You can. It can be done.
What are you going with, Alan?
The chair.
I got...
I don't know how uncomfortable that is, though. Like, yeah, you can't sleep beside your wife again. You're sleeping in a chair. She's up in the bedroom, ain't it?
Who says she's not sleeping in the chair, too?
How big is the fucking chair?
Well, it could be very big. You can't put three people.
No, you said how big it is.
You're bringing another person in on this now just because you're being selfish and not losing the use of your arm. Your poor wife has to have a bad night's sleep now over you forever.
She's going to have a bad neck over you.
Forever.
People sleep in very uncomfortable positions and locations
all
around the world all the time. They just get used to it.
Not in chairs, though. Sit upright like this and it'd be solid. You wouldn't even be able to put the chair back. We're in office chairs now.
I'm sure I can find somebody on YouTube or Instagram that'll say you're supposed to sleep in a chair.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that, right?
No, it doesn't.
I find people on Instagram that say that crystals are telling them that the lotto numbers are coming their way if they wish hard enough. Doesn't mean that, right?
You have to believe.
Yeah. You have to believe you can sleep in a wooden chair. I don't think you can.
Yeah.
Terry, you slept in a bleeding Ford Focus and electric picnic, and it was 3 years ago and we're still hearing about it.
Had fractured ribs as well, though. Take that into consideration. That didn't recline.
How do you know? Yeah, but a wooden chair is not going to recline. So if you break your ribs again, you still have to sleep in a wooden chair.
The arm is gone.
Okay, fine.
I did one night in electric picnic in a Focus, and I tell you, I still haven't recovered.
And a Focus has a softer chair than a wooden chair.
Oh, promise you, pal.
Next question. Anthony.
Anto.
There you go. That's fate.
Change
your fucking name.
God's
real.
Anto.
So he wants to know if you could help him get over some recent shame he experienced. So he was leaving the stall at live show in Vicar Street this couple of weeks ago, and as he was walking down, it says, as walking down Christchurch
My ankle rolled and I ended up hitting the ground like a sack of spuds in front of a load of girls. Thankfully, I managed to spring back up to my feet and continue walking as if nothing happened. But inside, I'm dying, both from the pain in my ankles and the shame. My question is, how do you cope with stuff like this when your body just fails you at the most inappropriate moments?
I don't know how you come back. That's a heavy L. Mm. I don't know how you come back from that.
And though, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle, pal. That's
the only thing I can think of, and it doesn't help. Well, it helps, but I mean, like, let's say that's 100% loss he's had to get in there. By doing what I'm about to say, you go down to probably a 98, and I can't see it getting any better than that. You laugh, and that's it. You just grammar it. You laugh. You went from 100% loss to 98%, but that's it. You can't get any better than that. That's the best outcome we can give you.
Me and Jerry Power were on a push bike years ago. We cycled out the Finglas on the push bike. I was on the crossbar, yeah? And we were coming back in from Finglas, back into Dors Estuary. And there's a big, huge hill. How do I explain it? From Finglas Village all the way to Glasnevin. That's just one big hill all the way down. And we're flying down. This bike had no brakes. Flying down. And I'm just, like, I remember thinking, fuck, there's no way he's going to be able to stop this. We're going at a serious pace. So he's trying to stop it with his feet and all, yeah? And at the traffic lights, there's a gang of boards. And he couldn't stop the bike, and the light went red, so the traffic was going to come towards us. Boom, into a barricade over the handlebars we went. Two of us broke up, and I still haven't recovered from that. That could have been 10 years ago. So you have at least a decade of shame ahead of you. At least.
Just hope none of the young ones know who you are.
Yeah. I'm waiting on someone to text now. I remember two fellas hitting that barricade out in Finglas. Was that you?
Another thing, just popped. Someone said it to me the other day. They had a similar experience. Whatever, tell you about the time I pissed the bed, 30.
Go on. Yeah.
I pissed the bed, and me board tried to make a show of me. So what I did to get ahead of her was I rang everyone and told them I had to piss in the bed. So that takes the shame out of it, takes the sting out of it then. So when she brings up conversations, like, we already knew we pissed the bed.
Why'd you piss the bed?
I don't. If I knew that on now, do you know what I mean? I didn't deliberately piss the bed. I pissed the bed. I jumped up. Do you know where I was? I know exactly where I was. Do you ever have to dream that you're pissing and I'm standing over the toilet? And I was pissing, but nothing was happening. And I remember in myself, I copped on, I was dreaming. I was like, bollocks. And I jumped up and I ran into the toilet and I was pissing. And she was like, what's wrong? I said, I'm at the piss in the bed. And she's laughing at me. And I was like, look, it happened. Like, what do you want me to do? What happened? Grew up, you changed the bed or whatever. It wasn't too bad because I caught a mid-dream. So it only started. And I had enough piss in me left that I could actually go to the toilet. So I just rang everyone. Rang me ma, rang me dad, rang the boys, put in the group chat. I said, look, I'm at the piss in the bed. And she was snapping. She was snapping. Oh, so I don't care. I tell you on the podcast, she was fuming because she didn't get to give the delivery and give me the sting then. Do you know what I mean? Like when I was telling you that him and Darren Conway are just the same, he was sick. He was like, no, and he has to just...
That's an exaggeration.
No,
again,
no, no.
You exaggerated the story and you're exaggerating my reaction to the story.
Terry, you were there.
No, he wasn't.
No, when I told the story.
Oh.
You were fuming, yeah. But you did say you were wearing a green bomber jacket and he was wearing black.
Well, and he said it was zipped up. Which it wasn't.
It's all the same. But yeah, that's what I would do. Rolling your ankle as well, that's a kill on me.
Oh, it's a kill.
You look, you didn't break something.
Yeah. So you can't, even trying to laugh or a fake laugh or off, doesn't really work, does it?
Rolling your ankle on Christ George. How unfortunate, Amy. Yeah.
There's something worse than falling, boys.
Boys. Yeah, in the dick.
He's blessed I was now because I'd have died laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, I love people falling, boys. I love it. I love it. Until someone hits their head.
Oh no, that's different then.
That hollow sound is bleeding.
Stops being funny then.
You know that one, Alan? That echo sound. Dunk.
Yeah.
Rotten.
The Douglas fella has some interesting information for us.
Who?
Yup. Douglas.
That's what he's going by.
Doesn't get to call himself Douglas fella.
But that's what he signed his emails. So, he starts off, said, did you know that sparkling water was invented by an Irishman? William Blitton.
What a name.
Sparkling water in the 1700s.
Blitton.
Do you want a score? Owen.
Continue.
Owen tried to tell Dennis to be quiet there, and then he heard it was money and he said continue.
Tell me how.
I didn't say yes or no, I just said continue.
How did the first man ever make sparkling water? How was it made? Don't look it up. Now looking up. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Show me your hands.
How do you reckon he made that? Like, how do you reckon this fella went, sparkling water?
No, he didn't go sparkling water. He was trying to figure something else out.
He didn't make it on purpose.
He accidentally added the gas to water because he might have thought it would do something else.
Yeah.
And then he
if it kept sparkling.
Pins and needles in my mouth.
Look. Yeah. Static in my mouth, yeah.
So you don't know him?
No, exactly. No.
I'm shocked by you, you know that. Shocked, but I'm actually disappointed in you.
I reckon there was a load of shit going on there because it's just carbonated water.
Exactly.
So that's, they're probably trying to make medicine or some form of way of taking medicine. That's how Coca-Cola was made. But it was made to take medicine back in the day. You'd mix it with your medicine and then you drink it.
Hang on, I'm getting some conflicting information here about the...
sparkling water, fella.
The history of sparkling water. Hang on.
It wasn't made by an Irish fella. I have a nice fact there. I think it's going to shock Terry.
There's an English scientist, Christopher Merritt, who created sparkling wine in 1662.
Get Merritt.
Sparkling wine?
Is that not
an English scientist, Joseph Priestley, in 1767. Suspended a bowl of water over a beer vat in a brewery in Leeds. Basically, he was the first person, he thinks, or they think, to infuse water with carbon dioxide.
I don't know, I love when you go down a rabbit hole on that computer.
Then they founded Schweppes in 1783. Not too long after.
1783 Schweppes is out since.
So I'm not seeing William Bletham here.
Google William Bletham then, see what comes up.
Didn't come up. So
nothing come up of William Bletham at all.
The Douglas fella, I'm not sure, we'll have to look into that one a bit more, but he has other ones which are true.
Yeah, but now the rest of them are tainted.
No, well, here's one that I did check before I brought it up, and from what I can see, it is true. Who invented the rasher?
The rasher.
What
do you mean the rasher?
The rasher, the very globally popular dish of thinly sliced bacon that you throw in a frying pan.
Francis Bacon.
George Rasher.
Is there someone famous?
You'll have heard the name before.
Arthur Guinness.
Colony.
Go on.
Yeah, man's Kentucky Fried Chicken. What's his name?
Connolly. Cornel Sanders.
Connolly Sanders.
Francis Drake.
You'll have heard this name in an ad.
Galti.
You're getting closer.
Granby. John Granby.
Henry Denny.
Denny's, yeah.
Henry Denny.
He was a butcher in Waterford and he invented the rasher.
How?
Just another cut.
Probably just cut it thinner than the other ones, yeah.
Really, yeah.
fucking smart for.
Very exciting. Bleeding Frank Denny.
No, he invented the curing techniques that they put them through to give it the flavour.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you're not happy with that, no?
No. How'd you make windows?
What do you mean, how'd you make it?
How'd you make glass?
You burn sand.
Go on.
Is that what that was?
I thought that was top secret, boys. I thought that was like breaking news.
Come here. Some fella texts me and says, do you know David Attenborough is part of the reason tennis balls are neon green?
What?
That's all he said to me. Now,
say that again.
David Attenborough is part of the reason why tennis balls are neon green. You know, luminous green tennis balls.
And what did he do?
That's what Owen's trying to find out for me now. I could have googled that myself, but I said I'll wait.
Mm-hmm.
I'd smash this studio up.
It appears to be true, yeah.
What did he do?
He was controller of the BBC in 1968, of BBC Two. So he was in charge of BBC Two in 68, which is when they were bringing in colour television.
What colour was he before that?
And Wimbledon was the first time.
It was used?
Yeah. Black and white before that, obviously.
No, the tennis balls.
All white, I think.
Why?
So, yeah, they found as they were watching Wimbledon on TV for the first time, they noticed that the tennis balls weren't visible enough. So they were black and white tennis balls. And they changed, the International Tennis Federation then changed them to green in 1972. Wimbledon kept using the white tennis ball up until 86, though. Anyway, is that... Can Attenborough take credit for that?
No, he's a fraud.
Jesus.
I'm not having it. And you don't.
Did I ever ask you how much a cloud weighs?
Yeah.
I think I did, yeah.
Yeah, the same amount as a ton of feathers. Oh, that's there. Come on.
What's the longest a chicken ever lived without a head?
Oh, a few days.
Ooh,
3 days.
Half an hour.
No, up it a bit.
An hour.
He doubled it.
18 months, Mike the Chicken.
I mean, how long?
What? Who's naming Chicken Mike? Chickens are girls.
I don't know. Mike the Chicken.
Chickens and goats?
I don't know. That's not the important bit here.
No, I'm stripping these down. These are not real. These are not real.
Okay, that's it then.
You have to be questioning these people with the facts. So
I think it's fair.
You have to strip it apart.
Mike.
But look, we'll sort it out next week with more facts. So that's it for this week's bonus episode. Send any questions and actual facts to talkingbollocks@goloudnow.com. Is that it?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. See you next week. What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in the drawer. Fill your body up in. Walk it hard and slow. When you finish that. The hypnotic. Come down.